Pianist Simona Dinerstein has a new recording out. It's called Circles, two piano concertos on this album, one by Johann Sebastian Bach, and a brand new concerto by Philip Glass, his concerto number 3, which was commissioned for Simona Dinerstein and the Boston-based string orchestra, A Far Cry, and Simona is here to talk to us about it. Welcome.
Thank you.
I've been listening to this recording and trying to draw some similarities between the Bach and the Glass. I mean, you have a reputation as a performer of Johann Sebastian Bach, but tell us how Philip Glass came to be connected with this.
Well, it started a few years ago when he invited me over for breakfast in his garden, and it was very exciting to meet him. I guess he was aware of me through my recordings, and during that talk that we had, we talked about the idea of him writing something for me. And then I went and thought about it, and I thought it would be really interesting if he could compose a piano concerto for piano and string orchestra, which would be paired with a Bach concerto. There really haven't been very many concertos for piano and string orchestra written since Bach's time, just a handful, including one other one that Philip Glass wrote. And I think it's a beautiful combination. And he liked that idea of pairing it with the Bach concerto. I asked if we could use the G minor one, which he liked. So that's what happened. So,
yeah. Why did you choose the G minor concerto to go with Glass?
Well, I had wanted to learn that concerto. I thought it was an interesting concerto. And he liked it too. It's not a particularly, I wasn't thinking that one concerto be more Glassian than another.
It was interesting to read his own account of his connection with Bach.
Yes,
Not that he tried to do anything specific to Bach, but that it was just a part of his training as a musician.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they have a lot of interesting connections. I think that Bach uses a lot of patterns in his writing, and we're kind of used to hearing that, not maybe thinking about that, but his works are full of sequences of patterns that subtly change. And he uses them as building blocks into creating a larger architecture. And that's really what Glass does. And I think that you know, the whole idea of counterpoint, of layering of voices, is also something that Glass is thinking about a lot.
Let's talk about the music of the Glass Concerto, because I think it's worth taking our listeners through it a little bit. I love the way that it begins with the solo piano, and then the strings kind of subtly counterpoint their way into the mix.
Yes.
You know, it's a very organic and very romantic sounding work, something I wouldn't necessarily expect from Philip Glass. Do you think his musical language has kind of changed a little bit over the years?
I think he definitely has changed, but I think his music in general is more romantic than it might seem. I think a lot of it is very much dependent on how it's played, because there are very few markings in the music about how to play it. You know, he doesn't even really care about tempo. Like, he doesn't, the metronome markings are really just suggestions. He's not strict about that. So there's almost no indication of articulation, dynamics, tempo, phrasing, all of those things are really open. And so you could play it in a non-romantic way, or you could play it more romantically. I think this piece is very lush and has a lot of very long lines in it. And the interplay between the instruments is just so incredibly beautiful. In particular, I love the way he writes for the double bass in this piece. And the way that the double bass is playing with the pianist's left hand is really striking. It's so beautiful.
About 4 minutes in, I hear music that sounds a lot like Vertigo, Bernard Herrmann.
Really?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Huh.
Maybe that's just out of left field, but it takes kind of a dramatic turn, a little bit towards the dark side there.
In the first movement you're talking about?
Well, I was talking about the first movement sounding like Vertigo.
Huh, okay. I have to think about that. I'll have to look at that. That hasn't struck me. And it gets a little bit dissonant right there.
A little bit,
yeah.
Yeah, but in contrast to that, the third movement is very calm and relaxing and just kind of, you know, fades away at the end. Interesting way to end a piano concerto, I think.
Yeah, the third movement is, I think, the really stunning movement. And I don't even know if I would call it relaxing, actually. I would say it's... it's definitely not relaxing to play it.
Well, you've played it a lot since it was premiered last September, right?
Yeah, well, it was a co-commission between 12 orchestras, so I'm going from one orchestra to the other.
How does that happen, then? You mentioned the idea to Philip Glass, and then does somebody then go out and collect orchestras to commission the work?
Yeah, that somebody was me.
Okay. You just get on the phone and call people?
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. This was a really very lovely co-commission because the 12 orchestras are all smaller orchestras that alone would not be able to commission a Glass piece. And so it's great that everybody was able to collaborate together to make this happen, and they all have their own local premieres. I like playing with orchestras like this because it's really meaningful to them that they have this commission, and it's not, you know, there's nothing that's taken for granted about it. Everybody's really excited about it.
Yeah, they have a vested interest,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Was the recording then part of the idea from the beginning?
Yes.
Did that come later?
Yeah, no, I wanted there to be a recording. And so the world premiere happened with A Far Cry, and they also, obviously, that part of that deal was that they were going to record it with me.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great ensemble, which I was not familiar with. This is a great way for folks who don't know A Far Cry to hear them for the first time, but had you worked with them before?
Yes, I've been lucky enough to work with them a few times over the past 2 years, I guess, and I think that they're really amazing and everybody should know about them. I mean, they are definitely building up a reputation, and they're very dynamic and wonderful to watch perform as well.
The there's a video on your website where the orchestra more or less is kind of gathered right around the piano on the stage performing,
yes.
Which seems like a slightly unusual way to perform.
Yes, it's actually a very old-fashioned way to perform. You know, like if Mozart would have been leading the orchestra from the keyboard, he would have had his piano facing the orchestra. And oftentimes if you see somebody leading from the keyboard, that's how they do it. So the piano, the lid is off of the piano, and the orchestra is actually standing in a semicircle around me. And that enables everyone to be able to see me, and also everybody can see each other. And yeah. We can all hear each other really well.
And you have those double basses right by your left hand, huh?
Well, they're directly facing me, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the sound of the Bach recording, and I know your engineer, Adam Abeshaus, he's done such great work with you on those Bach recordings.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you talk about Philip Glass and this concerto, that you can approach it romantically or mechanically, since there aren't really any markings on there. Is there a similar feeling in the way you approach Bach? Do you feel like you can make it a little more romantic or a little less romantic?
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's another thing that they really have in common is this open-ended quality to the score, which enables you to really take it in many different kinds of directions. I think that word romantic is a dangerous word because it's such a loaded word.
Yeah.
I would say that I think about the music breathing, and I think about it having flexibility, allowing the music to have different kinds of emotions, different inflection, taking away an idea of it being motoric or even,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I think that playing Bach's music evenly irons out a lot of the interesting things that are happening in the music. There's a lot of contour and so I like in both Glass and Bach to really, and anything that I play, to find all the different wonderful, strange qualities that are in the music.
The album is called Circles. And where did that title come from?
Well, I thought of the title because I think that the two concertos, the music itself is circular in that there's a sense of revisiting all the time, you know, that you're traveling away from somewhere and coming back to it. Certainly in the Glass concerto, the end of the concerto, it could also be the beginning of something, you know.
Yeah.
And then also because we were playing essentially in a circle, a far cry and myself, and the whole feeling of playing with them and playing this music with them was not in any sense us playing against each other, but us all being equal to each other, and that's very circular.
The album is called Circles, again featuring piano concertos by J.S. Bach and Philip Glass, available everywhere from the Orange Mountain Music Label. More information at your website, Simona, that's simonadinnerstein.com. We'll link to that from ours. And congratulations on your new album, and thank you for spending time with us today here on FM 91.
Thank you so much, Brett. It's always a pleasure.